These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code PARENTING for 15% off Equilibria's Microbiome Defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code PARENTING at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Welcome to the Your Village Podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline. Your Village is the most comprehensive site for evidence-based parenting classes available on demand at yourvillageonline.com. Our 50-plus classes give parents the foundation, steps, and tools for creating strong, healthy relationships with their children, resulting in responsible, cooperative, happy, and successful children and families. My goal is to help parents support their children in finding and reaching their own unique potential. The podcast is a place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm Your Village founder and your host, Erin Royer. The question this week is from a mom dealing with her 6-year-old's outbursts and aggressive behavior. But before I get to the questions, I thought it would be good to go over some general summer tips and guidelines. Now, I don't know about you all, but I've had a really difficult time this summer with the switch from school to summer. For those who have younger kids and the routine doesn't change, you're probably hanging in there just fine. But the switch over this year has been particularly difficult for me. It's always hectic this time of year with our community swim team and having all the stuff ready for practice right before they head off to camp. But I think this year, because the kids had been going to the same camp for 3 years in a row and they were growing weary of it, I tried to change things up with a week of surf camp an hour away. Of course, my oldest sprained his foot the second day of surf camp and couldn't even put any weight on it for over 24 hours. And so he was out of surf camp the remainder of the week, required some extra TLC and doctor's visits. Also, our oldest is now old enough to do the County Junior Lifeguard Program, which is awesome, by the way. If you're following me on Instagram at IronMom2020, you may have seen the picture of him doing his summer math book while sitting in his uniform waiting for his brother and sister to do their swim practice. But anyway, the different camps means different schedules and drop-offs for him than the other two, so this is new for me this year. Then the younger son had an issue at camp, the one he's grown weary of, with a bully who was also a problem last year. We addressed it then, but it never got great. So when we had problems this year, I just decided to just pull him. So I spent an evening after our younger son had been in tears for 2 nights in a row, finding a different program and moving them out of the old program and getting them enrolled in the new program. So this is just for the younger ones. So starting next week, they'll be going off to science camp and everything worked out fine. Just seems like these things keep piling up. But so my things to really get done this weekend is to work on the organization routine for us for the rest of the summer so that I'm not looking for swim goggles 15 minutes before we need to leave the house for swim practice. So I'm not going to give any tips on getting organized for the summer. Once I figure that out, it's really not that hard. I just need to do it, I think. Maybe I can give some tips on that, but I digress. The tips I want to cover this week are about summer learning, and next week I'll cover some tips on summer safety. Now, I have full episodes on both of these subjects, so I'll just cover a few highlights to bring them back around into everyone's awareness if you haven't heard those episodes, or just to bring it back so that you can think about those. And then I'll refer you to the full episodes if you want to know more. For summer learning, and this only applies to kids in elementary school and beyond, but on average, kids lose about 2 months worth of learning over the summer in subjects like math, reading, and spelling. So that's a big opportunity lost. So it's good to keep kids' skills sharp over the summer. There are lots of ways to do that. The easiest way is to keep them reading. You can have them pick out some books from the bookstore or join a summer reading program, which is pretty much in every city library. So that's pretty easy. And then carve out some time each day for your kids to read. Now, it seems like kids have plenty of time for electronics over the summer, so carve out some of that time for the reading instead. Now, I like to give my kids the opportunity and initiative to just read on their own. And my younger son is amazing at this. He will read a book anytime, anywhere. But the other two are not so great at it. So what I need to do with them is I just say there's no electronics or screens until they do some reading first. So the other area where kids lose a lot of skill is in math. The bookstores have lots of great math workbooks, and our oldest has been using the Star Wars themed ones for the past 3 summers now. This summer, he's been working his way through the 4th grade math book before he starts 4th grade in the fall. Now, for other kids who aren't so gung-ho to do workbooks, you can find some fun math games, both physical games or online. And I go into more detail on all of this in the episode on summer learning loss in episode number 16. So you can go back and listen to that one if you'd like to see some more specific ideas, both about math and in lots of other areas of learning. So it looks like I've been going on for just a little bit about our own family summer. So I got a little caught up in that. But so in order not to squish the answers to the two questions too short or have to drop one, I'm going to cover the summer safety tips, which covers kids all ages, infants up through teens. I'll go into those next week. So our first question is from a mom about her 6-year-old daughter's outbursts and aggressive behavior. And Carol says, I've been listening to the podcast and I'm learning lots of great strategies. I can't say I'm implementing them all effectively, but I am making my own progress. You know what, Carol? That's how this all works. We all make our own progress. We take what we can handle at that time. We work on that. When we get that down, we move on to the next thing. None of us take it all and make all these changes all in one day. So that is a great way to start. Carol goes on, my question has to do with what to do with my 6-year-old when she has a big upset, which can involve screaming, yelling at me, and even trying to hit or kick me. They also tend to come from some small issues that, to me, gets blown up in her mind. So for example, a few weekends ago, she had gotten a balloon at the bank. A little later, I was getting gas and didn't shut the door, causing the balloon to go out. She ended up crying about it and working herself into a huge upset about it. I tried emphasizing and apologized for not thinking to shut the door, but that did nothing to help her. When we got to our neighborhood, she didn't want me to stop for the mail. I did anyway. She got out of the car and came and kicked me on the shin. When we got into the house, she took off to the backyard and hid. She finally came and apologized for kicking me. When I tried to talk with her in a soothing tone about what happened, she wanted nothing to do with it. She ran off again. So maybe it was too soon. When she doesn't get her way, or even if we have an agreement and she wants to change it after I have held up my end, she gets really upset and can launch into the fits. She'll make threats to me like she's going to tear my stuff up, or she'll throw things. She's usually a very loving girl with a huge heart and does not act this way at school. She apologizes afterwards and genuinely seems to feel bad. After she calms down, she apologizes, but when I try to coach her about what happened and how we can do better, she tends to avoid the conversation. She will distract herself with other things, and I have a hard time getting her to focus. I'm growing frustrated with the outbursts and aggressive behavior too, at this age. How can I help her move past this behavior, but also let me coach her on better choices? Also, sometimes I feel like they are more intense after she comes back to me from her dad's. I don't know if there are some buried feelings in there about having two homes and feeling somewhat powerless in that. I know her dad and I approach parenting differently. Based on things she has said to me, she gets threats, spankings, and timeouts. Thank you. So, Carol, the last piece of information is very important piece. So I'm glad that you opened up to share about that, because I think this could have a lot to do with her behavior. It sounds like her dad falls more on the side of the authoritarian parent, and research does show that this parenting style does tend to invite resentments because there is little to no room for the child's expression of needs, disappointments, wishes, what have you. And as someone who grew up in a home with an extremely authoritarian parent, I remember feeling very resentful and angry a lot of the time because I could not express anything without grave repercussions, screaming, being hit, what have you. So I learned to just keep my mouth shut and swallow it, and deal with it. And it did probably come out in other ways. Now, I'm not saying that your daughter's dad is nearly as intense as my situation growing up at all. He may not be even remotely close to that, but just that this is a common pattern of behavior and feelings among and between parent and child when the parent is more authoritarian and wields the power too forcefully. In authoritative homes, positive discipline homes, it's more democratic. It's much less of a dictatorship. Now, it doesn't mean parent and child have equal say, but it does mean that the child has room to share their thoughts, feelings, wants, and needs and desires without fear, and in an environment that feels safe to do so. So I'm not sure if this may be what's happening at her dad's house. And I think if that is the case, what may be happening is that because you are the safer place, that she may be bringing that anger and resentment to you and unleashing it there. Now, this is a fine line to walk, because most likely this would be an extremely difficult thing to address with him. It sounds like you guys don't really talk about discipline with her, because you said you're getting it through her. It's not that you guys have talked about the different discipline styles. So it doesn't sound like co-parenting is happening or something that may be a real big possibility here. But so as long as the dad is not being abusive, meaning verbally or physically abusive, there is a lot that you can do. Unfortunately, spanking is still legal in all 50 states in the U.S. Now, given one of the spellings of one of the words that in the email that you sent, I'm thinking it's possible that you're not from the U.S. And if that's true and you're not living in the U.S., it is illegal. Spanking is illegal in certain areas around the world, including a vast portion of South America, in New Zealand, smattered throughout Europe, mostly Eastern Europe and Northern Europe, Iceland, Ireland, Spain, and Portugal. I do think and hope that these laws, while difficult to enforce, will spread. And the importance of it is it spreads the message that hitting is just not a way to discipline a child. As these laws spread throughout the world, it will help spread awareness. So let's assume you're living somewhere where spanking is completely legal. What can you do to help your daughter with these feelings and get these feelings out in ways that are appropriate? There is a lot you could do. And also know that your parenting will have a huge effect on her and will be a counterbalance of the connection and safety that all kids need as they grow up. She also will start to differentiate the two parenting styles and will act differently with you than with him, but that will take some time as you move along. And as you work with her, she will become more respectful. She will come to you. You will be the parent that she will come to if she's not feeling safe to share her feelings when she's at her dad's house. But one of the things I do just want to throw caution out there is to be careful of, is a lot of times what happens in parents where you have one really strict parent is that the other parent gets a very lenient to try to make up for that. You don't want to get too lenient to make up for that and just kind of allow her to do what she wants. You want to stay within these boundaries of staying the authoritative parent and the positive discipline so that you set up the structure, the rules, and the boundaries so she has a really healthy environment, and then the other environment may stay more authoritarian than is optimal, but it will have a lot less effect on her as she grows up. When we return after a break from our sponsor, I will answer the rest of Carol's question about how to deal with her daughter's anger outbursts. As an adult and a mom of a son, both with ADHD, I know navigating the expectations of life with ADHD can be a challenge. But finding the right care and proper tools needed to succeed can be life-changing. With the right resources, you can turn your ADHD into your superpower. Done is an online ADHD care platform that can get you all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD, online visits, refills, and a 24/7 care team made for you. Starting to take care of your ADHD is as easy as 1, taking a 1-minute free assessment to see if Done can help. 2, booking an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as today or tomorrow. 3, start receiving ongoing care, enjoy online visits, personalized treatment plan, worry-free refills, and 24/7 care. Take a free 1-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Done for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn your ADHD into your strength. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code PARENTING for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Now that we're back after the break, I'm going to continue answering our question about a 6-year-old and aggressive behavior. As far as what you can do, is there a way that you can get her to therapy? It would help to have an assessment to find out if the anger is coming from a place of dealing with two homes or any feelings of resentment or lack of control that she may have due to her situation when she's at her dad's house. And if that is the case, it will help her understand her anger and work through it. Now, I'm not a specialist in family law, so I don't know how it works in other states or countries, but I know in California, if both parents have custody, any kind of custody, whether it's 80-20 or 50-50, doesn't matter. If the other parent has any percentage of custody, then both parents need to sign the form to agree to have the child assessed and go to treatment. Now, I also want to say that I have my own experience with a very authoritarian and, in my case, abusive parent. So I want to make it really clear that I am not saying that this situation is abusive at all. Doesn't sound like it is. So I just want to put that out there. I'm not trying to color my experience with what's happening with my reaction to the question. I don't want it to set off alarms. So it is possible that if she's getting little to no room to express her needs or feelings, that she just has some resentments that are building up and they've taken hold. It's also possible that just dealing with two homes and two potentially different discipline styles is causing some behavioral issues, but the assessment will help parse this out. If you can make this happen and approach her dad with the idea that you just think she's struggling with two different homes and two different sets of expectations, and that you'd like her to see someone to learn how to deal with it, then that would be optimal if you could do that for her and for you. Now, if this is something that's just not in the realm of reality or possibility at all, then you'll just need to work with her on her behavior when she's with you, on how to appropriately express her negative emotions. The other thing you need to be careful of, even if she does come to you and express anger towards her dad, is that it's really good and really important if you can walk a very fine line. And this part is difficult. You want to support her feelings, but you also want to do whatever you can not to damage the relationship between her and her dad. In other words, it's best to not badmouth him in front of her. Now, of course, if it does turn out that any of the treatment is abusive, then you need to do what you need to do to protect her, and you do need to, you know, quote unquote, sort of take sides. But I don't think that's what's happening here. I just think he has a more authoritarian viewpoint on how to parent, and so you just want to try to manage that and help her manage that the best that she can. Now, even if you can get permission, if you need permission in your state or your country, to get her into some therapy, you still want to work with her at home on appropriate sharing of emotions. The best ways and times to do this are when she's calm. And I know you said you tried talking to her when she was calm, and you weren't sure if it was too soon. But it sounds like since she came to you first and was ready to apologize, that it wasn't too soon, but she's really struggling on whatever level to accept and discuss these feelings. So first, thank her for coming to you and apologizing. Let her know that it means a lot to you. And then get some books on handling negative emotions and read those during times when she's completely unrelated to an incident and calm. So just during a time that is calm and quiet, like a weekend morning or afternoon, the books may spark conversations about why she reacts the way she does. Then you can move into some discussions on making better choices. As far as the meltdowns themselves, when she just gets really upset, you did fine, apologizing and showing empathy. That's all you can do. She has to learn how to express and deal with the emotions that come with that. You're not responsible for her reaction, even if you made a mistake and did something that then made her feel upset. It's her responsibility to work through her feelings, and through reading books and discussing it, she will learn to do better and be better over time. Now, here are some book suggestions to read and open up a dialogue. When I Feel Sad and When I Feel Angry, these are two different books, both by Spellman and Parkinson. My Many Colored Days by Dr. Seuss. And When Sophie Gets Angry, Really, Really Angry by Bang. It's also good to read books about emotions in general, the whole range of emotions, to help children recognize and connect with them. And I have a list of about 25 different books, which is just too long to list off here, so I've created a handout with a list of books to read with kids about negative emotions and different positive ways of dealing with them, as well as books about feelings in general, recognizing them, connecting with them, understanding them, and sharing them with others. So to get this handout with a list of all these books, you can go to the website at yourvillageonline.com/podcast/books-about-anger. So that's yourvillageonline.com/podcast/books-about-anger. Now, when she talks about ripping up or damaging your stuff, try to have a conversation and see what you can learn about how she's feeling, and do some coaching in that moment if she can be receptive. You could say something like, "It sounds like you're angry about whatever you think got her upset, whatever happened in that moment. And then, can you tell me more about that?" And then let her share. Then once she comes around and calms down a little bit after talking about it, you can ask, "How do you think that would make me feel if you ripped up my papers or broke my glasses?" You can then ask how she would feel if someone ruined something important to her, a stuffed lovey or a favorite book or toy, and have the conversation that way. Now, when it comes to the aggressive behavior, the kicking or hitting, it is important to address this right away, even though she is upset at that time. It means setting up an expectation around it during a time when she's calm. Normally, when it comes to discipline, we do work the most positive ways first and then move to consequences last, like positive reinforcement and positive intent, then things like choices, eye messages, and empathy, then natural consequences, and finally logical positive or logical negative consequences. But when it comes to aggression, it is important to let kids know that that behavior just isn't tolerated. That's a strong line we want to set. If our child were hurt by another or our child hurt another child, we would expect there to be some solid boundaries and consequences in place. The same goes when they do it to us. There's no positive intent when it comes to kicking or hitting. It's like, oh, she probably thinks I like it. No, she's angry and acting aggressively, so she needs to learn to control the anger, and that kicking just is never okay, or hitting, whatever, is never okay. If you can find a logical consequence, that is best. She throws a toy, she loses the toy for the rest of the day. She kicked you because she isn't allowed to watch TV at that moment, she loses TV for the rest of the day, or the next few days, or what have you. If you can't find anything related, then she loses a privilege of some sort, electronics time or a play date. You would need to set up this consequence or the boundary that you're going to have a consequence, like I said, during a time when she's calm. You want to sit down with her and say, "Remember the other day when you kicked me because you didn't want me to stop for the mail? Well, kicking and hitting are just not okay. It hurts. If you ever do that at school, you would be in a lot of trouble. You can't do it at home with me either. So from now on, there will be a consequence for this type of behavior. You could lose your chance to watch your favorite show or play a game on the tablet, or you may lose a play date with a friend if it's coming up. So just be aware of the consequence the next time you get angry with me and think about your choice before you make it." Now, since she's six, the consequence can be through the rest of the day or even into the next day. For other parents dealing with aggression, or using consequences in general, here are some age guidelines. 2 and under, a positive timeout, which means sitting and talking with you for a few minutes. If they were playing, it means they have to leave the play scenario, so this is a negative consequence enough. For ages 3 and 4, at these ages, most aggression is over toys and play scenarios. So the logical consequence of having to allow the other child to play with the toy or use the paintbrush they wanted for a few minutes while they're talking with you about it is enough. Especially at these ages, 2, 3, and 4, they're really just learning how to control themselves. So it's expected that they're going to hit and kick. This is not an abnormal behavior for these younger ages. By the time they're 5, 6, and older, we expect kids to be able to, for the most part, handle these emotions. So we're going to tolerate this type of behavior less and less and get more strict in our consequences with them. And also, when it comes to the kids 2, 3, and 4, they don't equate things later in the day to something they did earlier. So anything longer than 15 to 20 minutes of losing a turn with a toy won't mean anything after that. Now, by the age of 5, they have a better memory, so a few hours to the rest of the day is fine for a consequence. For 6 and 7, the rest of the day to a few days of a lost toy or privilege. Now, these timelines for consequences apply to whatever the concern is, not just aggression. Not cleaning up their own toys, a back talk after you've been working on it for several weeks, things like this. Because by the time kids get to be 7 and up, like I said, especially 8, aggression, purposefully hurting someone, should be a thing of the past. So for kids 8 to 10, these consequences we're talking about, not following through on something they were supposed to after you've been working on it for a little while. For 8 to 10, a few days to a week of a consequence, and for tweens and teens, in most cases, a week or two is plenty long for losing a cell phone or driving privileges or being grounded. If you have a parenting question you'd like answered, you can send an email to podcast@yourvillageonline.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.